WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. President Trump says he'll leave the G7 summit in Canada early to return to the White House. CBS's Pauline Smolinski says before the announcement, he made a startling statement.
He posted an ominous and cryptic message on social media. He said, quote, "Iran should have signed the deal I told them to sign. What a shame and waste of human life. Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. Everyone should immediately evacuate Tehran."
Israel and Iran continue their attacks on one another in what's now the fifth day of fighting. CBS's Deborah Patta is in Tel Aviv.
During the Iranian strike in April last year, 99% of those missiles were intercepted, most before even reaching Israeli skies. Now remember, Israel was supported by its allies, the UK, France, and the US. Now it's fighting alone for the most part, with Iran striking every night, so some missiles do break through.
American officials are saying the U.S. will not assist Israel in its attacks on Iran. Vance Belter has been arraigned on murder charges in Minneapolis. Prosecutors say he killed Democratic state legislator Melissa Hortman and her husband early Saturday. CBS's Anna Schechter is following.
When it comes to motive, we look at those targeted. They were all Democrats. That the prosecutors are going to take into account. They're also going to be searching through his internet searches, his online activity.
A federal jury in Colorado has found that MyPillow founder Mike Lindell defamed Eric Coomer, a former employee of a company that supplied voting machines used during the 2020 presidential election. Here's CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
Lindell accused Coomer of committing treason, which is a ruinous statement if untrue. The legal standard was whether Lindell either knew the statement to be false or used the word treason recklessly without knowing whether it was true.
A member of the jury hearing testimony in the Sean Diddy Combs sex trafficking trial has been dismissed. The judge said he questioned whether the man had been honest about where he lives. More from CBS's Katrina Kaufman.
A black male juror has now been replaced by a white male alternate. Then we heard from two different summary witnesses. These are witnesses for the government that are helping bring together threads of this case. We're seeing a lot of messages and records that bolster the prosecution's allegations of racketeering conspiracy, sex trafficking, and transportation for the purpose of prostitution.
About 50 residents on Hawaii's Maui Island have evacuated their homes as a fast-moving brush fire fueled by strong winds encroached on their rural community. This is CBS News.
Progressive Insurance. Progressive can protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, RV, and more. In short, a lot of things. Bundle today at progressive.com.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers cut the cards. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers head to Chicago to open a series against the Cubs tomorrow night. Yesterday, the Brewers beat the Cardinals 3-2 to win the four-game series and move up into second place. Did things get testy with St. Louis over the weekend? The Brewers' Trevor McGill.
Tensions were high. Everything surrounding that's happened over the series. So, yeah, that's huge for us. 3 out of 4 and get out of the jam like that.
Rhys Hoskins got beaned. The Cardinals' Wilson Contreras having words with the Brewers' bench. Pat Murphy.
Cardinals Brewers, man, there's always going to be high emotion. The health of the game is that you let players, especially veterans like that, handle what they handle. If we feel like somebody's thrown at us on purpose, the umpires will take care of it.
Girls high school softball, the Kokona Ghosts, with a 1-0 win over Kenosha Bradford to clinch their fourth state division title in the last 5 years.
It hasn't quite settled in yet, but it's an amazing feeling. I wouldn't want to go out any other way, so it's just incredible.
That's senior pitcher Carly Meredith with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Heavy showers winding down. Our skies gradually turning partly cloudy overnight. Low temperatures will drop back into the lower 60s. On Tuesday, look for a mix of clouds and sunshine. Afternoon highs in the upper 70s. Storms return Tuesday night. Right now, it's 73.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be talking with James Small about rural EMS outreach across the state of Wisconsin and also fusion voting. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Khaled Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He normally joins us on Fridays to discuss all things Wisconsin and political. We have a double shot of Dan Schaefer this week, who is at the convention in Wisconsin over the weekend. Good morning, Dan. You must be tired. It was a long weekend for you.
It was a long weekend, but happy to join you here on Matt and Air on Air as always. And yes, it was quite the weekend at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells for the WISDEMS 2025 convention, talking about the road to 2026 and electing a new chair. The farewell convention for Ben Wickler in so many ways. And I think Ben maybe took the stage, about 20 different times over the course of the 2-day convention to talk. But it was, definitely a celebration of Ben Wickler's 6 years as chair of the party, and then looking ahead to the future after they elected Devin Remiker as the next chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. So lots going on, as always.
What do we know about Devin Remiker, other than the fact that, because Ben Wickler had endorsed him leading up to this?
That's right. Yeah, Wickler endorsed Remiker in this race. Remiker was the executive director of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin for quite some time. He was one of the leaders of the Harris Walls campaign in Wisconsin last year. He is a native of Two Rivers, Wisconsin, went to UW-La Crosse, and has, really been part of the party for quite a while in Wisconsin. So I think he, of the people running, he seemed kind of like the more internal WISDEMS, kind of insider choice. Joe Zepecki running a little bit from outside of the party, and then William Garcia running he came in third place in the final votes there for that. But I think Remiker is going to be, he really built this as kind of a continuation of what was going right for Democrats of Wisconsin. I think even at one point in one of the speeches he gave, it's just like, well, national Democrats were rolling over, Wisconsin Democrats were putting up a fight. And mm-hmm. I think he kept saying that in Wisconsin, the Democratic Party works. And so for whatever dysfunction you might see on a national scale for the Democratic Party, yeah. I think that part of his message was to say that, what we're doing in Wisconsin is working. And I think by and large, the results of the spring election have absolutely reinvigorated the party. I think there was so many people after the loss in November. I wonder what this type of convention would be like had it not been for Susan Crawford's 10-point victory in April,
Yeah, I think there'd be a lot more hair on fire, maybe.
Like, wringing of hands.
What are we going to do? Yeah. And really, like, you think about it, too. Like, the past, the first Donald Trump v. Clinton, but the 2016, 2020, 2024 were tumultuous for Wisconsin, back and forth, in a time when the presidential election since Reagan went to Democrats. But Wisconsin, when it becomes our election, our statewide election, we lock it down. We get it in and we talk about the important things. And we see a different attitude. And Dan, I believe you talked about this too, is that in the April election of this year, things really shifted left in all counties and all parts of the state. Areas that went for Trump, I mean, they didn't become all of a sudden blue havens, right, but they definitely showed a tick towards the left. And I think if the Wisconsin Democrats can capitalize on the work that Ben Wickler has done, I think there can be some really good things happening, especially in those wow counties, the bow counties, and those areas that people are like, well, those are Republican strongholds. And also with fair maps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, and Wickler, I think the number that they were saying at the convention that under, you know, his leadership, Democrats or democratically aligned candidates had won 10 of the last 13 statewide races since he took the helm in 2019. So a pretty impressive record overall. Obviously, flipping the state Supreme Court was a big part of that, you know, coming up short in November. But, you know, the closest of all of the swing states in the country too. So I think, you know, Remaker will have an opportunity to, you know, kind of carry the torch from Wickler. And it was an interesting vote. It was contentious. It was close. Both camps had a lot of signs, you know, floating around the convention for the weekend, but then it did go to a second round in the ranked choice voting on Sunday. So this was held with ranked choice voting for the first time because they had three candidates running for it. In the first round of voting, Remaker received 437 votes. Sopecki got 330 and Garcia had 139. So then Garcia drops off for the second round. Mm-hmm. And then those kind of second place votes within those ranks, Remaker ended up with 485 to Sopecki's 415.
Wow, so, close,
you know,
though.
Pretty close, really close. Ultimately at the end of the day. Yeah, so a really interesting vote. Interesting that they had it with ranked choice voting. And then, you know, on down the line, it was also two new party officers were elected. They ran unopposed. So Sarah Godlewski is now the first vice chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And Joshua Taylor, who's been the chair of the party's fourth congressional district, was elected as second vice chair as well. So some change within a couple of the officers of the party as well. And with Godlewski, I do wonder if, you know, the fact that she's been a more public face for in a lot of different places. She's, you know, taken this both state treasurer and secretary of state's office and done a little bit more with it than than we might expect.
Right.
You know, I wonder if she might take a similar approach to the first vice chair role as well.
Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor, also the creator of the Recombobulation Area. He was at the WisDems convention over the weekend, and we're doing a little recap of what happened, including the election of Devin Remaker as the head of WisDems. I think it's interesting that they did ranked choice voting. I know that that's something that there's a push to see more of this happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think just overall, like, democracy reforms are really interesting. And I thought it was great that WisDems, you know, as advancing this, you know, as a platform or as an option to go about it. You know, we're seeing in the national news, like the mayor of New York election, mm-hmm. Mayor of New York City election that's happening right now will also be a ranked choice vote. So that's going to be interesting to watch there as well. But I think, you know, sometimes we've seen people talk about, hey, let's do ranked choice voting. Like in the legislature, they talked about, you know, a couple people talked about wanting to do ranked choice voting. Oh, but not for us, but for, you know, members of Congress or something like that. So I thought it was good of the Democrats to say, we approve of this, and we're actually going to adopt it to elect our chair and our party officers.
Yeah, so, it's kind of tough to say this is a really good thing that we should do, but we don't want to do this thing. That's kind of tough.
I have a question, Dan, and I'm asking you to give me your opinion on like the behind the scenes stuff, and
yeah,
I found something very interesting. So when Ben Wickler decides to step down, we saw people throwing their hats in the ring, and one of the first people is Joe Sopecki. I mean, I think the day like. Either the day after or the weekend after, and he came out strong with lots of endorsements.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben Wickler had said, I'm not going to endorse anybody. And then in the last couple of weeks, he endorsed Devin. I almost said Lemahieu, but remind me his last name.
That'd be a surprise.
Right? but why do you think he endorsed him? And B, and this is our, I don't want to get conspiracy theory or like, politics. Was it because Joe Sopecki was, as you said, an outsider showing a lead or real good chance of getting it? And they'd be like, no, we want to keep it like within, I don't know. Don't elect the outsider guy. Don't let's keep it with us. I mean, that I know that's a lot for you to comment on. And
it's a fair question, though.
If you don't want to, I understand. But it just seemed very weird that he did exactly what he said he wasn't going to do, which is very odd. Because, you know, it would be easier not to endorse anybody, but he took heat for doing this. And it seemed like it happened in the moment where the outside guy, Joe Sopecki, who, you know, I think would have done a great job. I loved his attitude towards statewide inclusion and community. But was it too much? And they're like, no, we got to keep one of our guys in this chair.
Yeah, so, you know, I interviewed Ben Wickler about a month ago, and it happened to be the day after that he endorsed Remicker, and mm-hmm. so I asked him about it. He had initially said he was going to remain neutral, and Wickler said, he just said he changed his mind, and that he's just like, it's an election, everybody gets their say. I do wonder if, you know, that was a significant factor in swinging some votes over. I know some people were just like, didn't really exactly love, you know, his decision to endorse in the race. But I think, you know, look, I don't think it was a coincidence that Remicker announced his campaign for this within hours of Wickler stepping down.
Yeah.
Like it just seemed like he was, you know, kind of the internal pick to continue on and, you know, grab the torch from Wickler and continue with like the same type of approach that they have been. I joked with Ben in that interview that, using one of my favorite jokes from the HBO series Veep, the campaign line, continuity with change.
God, that show is good. So good. And that to me, it kind of like what we spoke about last week. And if you want to listen to our interview with Dan from last week, go to civicmedia.us/shows. You can listen to the Friday episode. We're talking about your article regarding Tony Evers, and we're talking about the idea of primaries versus picking the next person or just allowing that person, you know, the guy in charge, to just walk past everybody else and say, he's the one. Mm-hmm. This notion of we want primaries, we want choices, I think gets muted when the guy who is beloved, who says he's not going to endorse, then comes out and says he endorses the guy who literally announced hours after Ben announced his retirement. Mm-hmm. It just, for me, there's a little pain there. Go like, oh, you could that will always bother me. That will always bother me.
I do wonder if there's a comparison to be made in this race between the race for Wisdom's chair and the race for DNC chair. So, you know, just as Sopecki was kind of mounting these, you know, endorsements when he announced and stuff like that, Ben Wickler was in the same role, mm-hmm. kind of as more of the party outsider compared to Ken Martin, who had been, you know, an officer within the DNC for a while.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, some of us were surprised to see Ken Martin win that, but he had been kind of lining up a run for this type of role for a really long time. And I wonder if there's, you know, Devin Remicker is the Ken Martin in this analogy and Joe Sopecki is the Ben Wickler in this analogy,
well,
where it may be a little bit more of a public persona for Sopecki, but maybe didn't have the support from within the party, within the delegates and all of that.
Yeah.
Well, Ben Wickler, but it may not want to get too comfortable, because whether or not Ken Martin's going to remain in that spot after he was caught on tape saying, yeah, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. What, have you been there for 2 months?
It's not great, Jane.
No,
it's not great.
It's not good.
This job is hard. Good.
Oh, I didn't think it was going to be this hard.
Oh, I got to talk to all the Democrats? Oh, God.
Yeah. So, Ben, I don't know. You might get tapped for this yet.
Yeah. That's an interesting analogy, Dan. This is very, very interesting. Because, I just couldn't, when I saw that he was elected, when Devin Remicker was elected, I'm like, that just, it stuck in my craw, to quote my grandpappy.
Well, and I think unfortunately that can lead to both parties are the same. Both parties do this.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
yep.
One is not better than the other. Mm-hmm. We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer on the other side, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi award-winning recombobulation area. Stay close. We'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Matt and Air on Air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
There's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on to tap.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. A double dose of Recombobulating this week. Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area. And Dan was at the WISDEMS convention over the weekend here in Wisconsin.
And not only stuff happening with a brand new chair, but Dan, you sat down with Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock, who was, if I'm not mistaken, the keynote speaker of that event, correct?
That's right. He was the keynote speaker. Saturday night at the convention is kind of when all of the different big names in Wisconsin politics would deliver their speeches. And Warnock's was the one to cap off the night. He delivered a terrific speech. But moments before he delivered that speech, I got a chance to sit down with him for a few minutes and interview the senator, which was a real treat. And, you know, he had some really interesting things to say. There are some commonalities between Wisconsin and Georgia, both being, you know, swing states, both having, you know, being purple states, and the challenges that can come with that. And, you know, he talked about the big, ugly bill working its way through Congress. He talked about working with Senator Tammy Baldwin. Both Georgia and Wisconsin are both non-expansion states for Medicaid, and that's something right. That both of them have worked on at a federal level to try and make some change there as well, and talked about kind of where Wisconsin's position is nationally and what type of significance the spring election had in Wisconsin too. So had 10 minutes with the senator, and we touched on a lot. So go check out that interview at the Recombobulation Area.
And we have a small clip of that conversation that you gave to us. Calvin, can you play that clip of Dan talking to Senator Raphael Warnock?
Well, we are in a fierce debate in the Congress right now. The Big Ugly Bill represents the largest transfer of wealth from the bottom half of the country to the top that we've ever seen. And I'm very concerned about my constituents in Georgia. I'm concerned about rural towns in particular that count on SNAP. Not only the people who need it, but these small grocery stores, the local economies that count on this, on this response to food insecurity.
I mean, it says it right there, Dan. I mean, I see videos projecting the taxes for poor people will go up versus tax cuts for billionaires will also go up. I mean, we're talking about a bill here that is going to penalize people for being poor and food insecure and just not being a guy who can call up and talk to the president when they want to. I mean, this is ridiculous. And I didn't know how much Georgia had in common with Wisconsin.
Yeah. And, you know, the way he talked about this being, you know, quote, the largest transfer of wealth from the bottom half of the country to the top that we've ever seen. I mean, that's a really significant statement to me from somebody like Warnock, who has, you know, he in his keynote speech at the convention talked about some of his personal background, talked about, you know, working his way up from being a poor child to being a U.S. senator and relying on, you know, programs like Head Start, programs like food assistance, programs like that really matter. And he talked about how he campaigned in Georgia in a lot of rural areas and small towns. And he said there were a lot of people who were surprised to see him come back after the election as well, to continue having that conversation with people. And I think, you know, he talked about it in the context of, you know, what some of his Republican counterparts are going to be doing. And, you know, there are a lot of people serving in red districts across the country who are representing those who are going to be losing Medicaid coverage, will be losing their food assistance, will be losing a few other things. And so one of his quotes was saying, quote, "And my Republican colleagues have got to decide, are they going to fight for their own constituents, the constituents in Marjorie Taylor Greene's district? Is she going to fight for them, or is she going to carry the MAGA banner? That's the question before her, and Wisconsin faces a similar question."
Well, and a question I have too is if these individuals who supported and voted for Donald Trump, not the politicians, but the real people, when they see their benefits go away, when they see their taxes go up, will they hold those Republican lawmakers
accountable?
Will they hold their feet to the fire at election time? Will qualified candidates primary them?
But I heard a statistic coming in this morning that said only one of five Americans are aware of what is in this budget bill.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that four out of five have no idea. It's like Project 2025.
Yeah.
It's out there, but unless it's really in your face, I don't know that a lot of people really understand what this is going to do.
Yeah.
It's a disaster of a bill.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Warnock's comments on this and just talking about the way he has worked with Tammy Baldwin over the years to address some of the similar challenges. And you know, I think both being swing states, both being states that have large urban centers and many rural small towns. And I think, you know, that their focus on, you know, being senators for the whole state is something I heard a lot from Tammy Baldwin last year. I had a chance to interview her as well, and it was interesting to, you know, see the similar approach being taken by Raphael Warnock, who reminded me as well that he won five elections in 3 years, which, you know, that's pretty impressive.
You should get a medal or a day off or a chocolate something prize basket. That. I mean, that is amazing.
Subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. It is absolutely fabulous. So is he. Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer. Thank you so much for joining us. We will see you again on Friday.
Thanks so much. Be well.
Stay close. News coming up next. Audio sorbet when we return. Ooh, it's a tough question today. Bagels toasted or no? That's on the other side. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump announced an early departure from the G7 summit in Canada to head home.
You probably see what I see, and I have to be back as soon as I can.
CBS's Paula Smolinski has more.
The announcement came from White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt. She said, quote, President Trump had a great day at the G7, but because of what's going on in the Middle East, he will be leaving tonight after dinner with the heads of state.
Vance Bolter accused of fatally shooting Minnesota State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband and wounding two others made his first court appearance today. He was arraigned on murder and attempted murder counts. Correspondent Lilia Luciano has more on the investigation.
Investigators say a search of the suspect's SUV turned up five more firearms and ammunition. Notebooks were also found containing a list of more than 45 lawmakers from Minnesota and beyond, as well as abortion rights advocates.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
The Brewers cut the cards. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers head to Chicago to open a series against the Cubs tomorrow night. Yesterday, the Brewers beat the Cardinals 3-2 to win the four-game series and move up into second place. Did things get testy with St. Louis over the weekend? The Brewers' Trevor McGill.
Tensions were high. Everything surrounding that's happened over the series. So, yeah, that's huge for us. 3 out of 4 and get out of the jam like that.
Rhys Hoskins got beaned. The Cardinals' Wilson Contreras having words with the Brewers' bench. Pat Murphy.
Cardinals-Brewers, man, there's always going to be high emotion. The health of the game is that you let players, especially veterans like that, handle what they handle. If we feel like somebody's throwing at us on purpose, the umpires will take care of it.
Girls High School Softball, the Kokona Ghosts, with a 1-0 win over Kenosha Bradford to clinch their fourth state division title in the last 5 years.
It hasn't quite settled in yet, but it's an amazing feeling. I wouldn't want to go out any other way, so it's just incredible.
That's senior pitcher Carly Meredith with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Law & Order SVU star Mariska Hargitay has had an incredible 26-year run on the show as Captain Olivia Benson. She has a side project that recently screened at the Tribeca Film Festival called My Mom Jane. In the documentary, Hargitay talks about her famous mother, Jane Mansfield, who was killed in a car accident in 1967. That is pretty much common knowledge, but what is not is that a 3-year-old Mariska was not only in the car with her mother, two siblings, and two other adults, but that she actually went missing after the accident. Apparently, authorities came to the rescue of Hargitay's two young siblings who were in the back seat with her. While taking her siblings to the hospital, her brother Zoltan woke up and said, "Where is my sister?" First responders went back and found Mariska, who was so small she was lodged under the passenger seat. Mansfield, her lawyer, and driver were all in the front seat and were killed. My Mom Jane streams on Max starting June 27th. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Heavy showers winding down. Our skies gradually turning partly cloudy overnight. Low temperatures will drop back into the lower 60s. On Tuesday, look for a mix of clouds and sunshine. Afternoon highs in the upper 70s. Storms return Tuesday night. Right now, it's 73.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area recaps last weekend's state Democratic convention and reaction to his column about Governor Evers.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll wrap up the show around 10:51-ish. With This Shouldn't Be a Thing, today it is the Catch Me If You Can edition. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Calvin found this one.
He's good at them.
He is good at them.
He is our Tisbat hunter.
He is the Tisbat hunter. You can be as well. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays. janesays@civicmedia.us. Use that same address to contact the show. If there's a business that you think would be good for Beyond the Cheese.
Yes, please.
If there is a fundraiser in your community, whether you're in Oshkosh or Hayward or wherever you are around the state, you can always get in touch with the show at janesays@civicmedia.us. It is 10:36. This is the segment that we call Audio Sorbet.
Cleansed already.
Right? It's a cleansing for the ear away from the heavy topics of the news and all of those things that are a little bit exhausting. So we like to take a little break and lighten it up for the last half an hour of the show. This could be a very contentious argument.
Yes. I heard it is, like apparently.
People have strong feelings about this. So here we go. Bagels, toasted or no? 855-752-4842. Bagels, toasted or no? 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel.
Okay.
I'm just saying what I've read.
Why? Okay. Then I respond with this question.
Okay.
Why would a purist say that?
I think because I always imagine like the creation of the bagel out east as a New York City creation.
Mm-hmm.
And I have read that New Yorkers.
Many people are saying.
Do not toast their bagels. They do not toast bagels. And I am not a bagel purist. I love toasted bagels.
I would honestly, I feel like the purist line, why? I can understand.
So, I don't know if it's the texture.
It's the freshness.
It's the freshness and the texture is unadulterated, non-toasted.
The flavor is untouched by the heat of the toaster oven.
There's something going on, but I guess toasting changes the bagel. In a way, that is a crime.
The toaster oven changes the molecular structure of the goodness that is America, the bagel.
See, I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear. That's what it's called. It's called a schmear.
I know, but the way you said it, I wish there was inspirational music behind that. There's nothing better. I'm just going to do a lot of voices during this segment because that's what I want to do because this is fun. But I don't know. I guess I go. I guess maybe call me a super progressive. I go both ways.
Oh,
because
you're a bagel swing.
Calvin, don't look at the camera like that. I see your face. Your face can't hide your disdain of what I just said. He's a bagel purist. It's like he eats them raw. They don't even bake them.
They don't even have to.
He's
cook
just
them.
Like he's just
yeah,
like
just
I
give
just
me
want,
the dough.
Give me the dough. Throw the dough in my face and some cream cheese.
Audio survey today: bagel toasted or no? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC.
Luann, is it Wonderos?
Wonderos.
Wonderos, okay.
Correct us if we're wrong, Luann.
Because yeah, I think of Underoos.
I agree with you.
Yeah, so Wonderos.
Listening on WALAK in England.
She says, and this I feel like is very, very stern.
Specific.
Sliced, buttered and grilled, or not at all.
There you go.
I kind of enjoy that sort of, like, she gets
the vehemence.
If she goes to a restaurant and they hand her a bagel and it's not buttered and or not grilled, it's like, excuse me, garçon.
Hello.
Do you not know the ways of the bagel? I order them sliced, buttered, and grilled, or not at all.
Or not at all.
Not at all.
855-752-4842. Audio survey today. Bagels, toasted, or no. 855-75-CIVIC. I prefer a toasted bagel. I like a nice Asiago with a sour, with a cream cheese and chive cream cheese, onion and chive.
I personally, okay, so this is why I could go both ways. If I'm buying store-bought in a bag and they're in my fridge, or not my fridge, don't come at me for how I store my bagels. It's my life. I'm probably going to toast it. I want that buttery, melty, or if it's a plain, I will endeavor into peanut butter and or jelly. If it's a savory, if you try to give me a sweet schmear, I will scream in your face and run away.
Yeah, that shouldn't be.
But
a thing.
If I'm going to a deli, if I'm in New York, when in Rome, I'll go fresh, untoasted. I think that's the thing is, if I'm going to a restaurant that's making them fresh in house, I don't think I'm going to get it toasted because I think it's going to be
an
soft
and affront to the baker.
Less so than I feel like it's going to be fresh. I don't feel like what I'm getting in the store is super fresh, so just toast it and get it nice and warm and get that. Because, I mean, let's face it. Come on, Jane. Let's just be honest here. Can we have a moment? Folks, can we have a moment of honesty?
Brutal honesty.
I want a moment. Calvin, can you just play the harp music for me really quick? Just really quick. A moment of honesty with Greg.
Okay.
Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them?
It's a cream cheese delivery system.
It's a conduit for the schmear or the jelly or whatever you put
it. Of course it is.
So does it really matter?
It does matter.
Does it matter?
Delivery matters. Yes. Bagels, toasted or no, 855-752-4842. Judy from East Troy, fresh made, no toast.
There you go.
All right.
Steve from Milwaukee. Steve from Milwaukee sent a couple here. Toasted makes it less dry and easier to chew, which I understand. And that's my point with the whole, are you buying it from the store or getting it from the restaurant? I understand that. And then Steve also goes on to say, I agree with Greg. If it's at a deli, it's different. It's just a different experience.
Well, and it's going to be fresher, right? Tom from Wausau listening on WXCO. If it is a fresh bagel, don't toast ever.
Love this.
If it's not fresh or from the fridge or the freezer, toast. As a sandwich, no toast. So Tom has some pretty specific bagel rules, which I appreciate.
I will not lie. Jane and I, before the show went on today, we were a little nervous talking about this topic just because it's very specific.
It is.
But I am so happy to see so many people with not just opinions, but specific opinions on this.
We got rules.
We got rules, and we also have people who know what they want and definitely know what they don't want.
Not being wishy-washy about the bagels.
And Steve, as far as blueberry cream cheese, if it's on a plain bagel, I'll try it. If it's on anything else, get out of town.
I'm with you. I don't like the sweet.
I don't like sweet bagels. I don't like sweet bagels, and
don't
sweet schmear.
Don't put chocolate chips in my bagels.
Don't give me a dessert.
855-752-4842. Yes, the issues of the day, audio sorbet today, bagels, toasted or no. Ron from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Ron. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, guys. I'm very specific that I need a toasted pumpernickel bagel.
Okay.
Ooh, and it needs to have something on it. I mean, we can, the only time I won't have it, I'm like what somebody said there, maybe, I'm not sure who said it, but if it's going to be like a lunch sandwich, like a deli sandwich on a bagel, well, then I don't need it toasted. I might ask for that, but if there's cheese on it, I might ask. But, and I have a friend who just thinks he's been a bagel aficionado for most of his life, and he thinks anything other than a plain white bagel is a blasphemy.
It's crime.
Pumpernickel bagel. Yeah, it's like an affectation. But I think they're healthier, and I think they have a nice taste, and you can put less stuff on them. A smear, usually peanut butter or just butter or cream cheese,
Stay with your convictions, Ron, yeah. For one thing.
We all need to stand up for something.
When you talk to your friend, hold your ground for the pumpernickel bagel. I think that's fantastic.
That is also something to be said. It's the notion of, like, if you love bagels so much, why isn't a plain bagel enough? Why does it have to have melted Asiago cheese or in everything? Or
why
this
does it
or
have
that?
To have anything?
Why does it have anything in it? Which just brings me back to my point. The bagel is the conduit. No one, like, who's eating a plain bagel with nothing? Toasted or not toasted?
855-752-4842. You nothing on it. No schmear of any kind. There's no one does that.
I just imagine that you're just like, I need carbs right now.
No, I just can't imagine anyone do it. Because you're right. It's a delivery system.
Mm-hmm. Just like
that's like cupcakes.
So can I ask another question?
Sure.
Why is it if I walk into this room right now and I am just eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Why is it so less acceptable than if I'm eating it on a bagel?
That's a really interesting question. Should we just be honest?
Let's just be honest. Just you want to eat salsa? Get rid of the chips. Just spoon it out of the tub and put it in your mouth.
It would make life much more direct.
Yes. And people are like, what are you doing? Exactly what I want.
Could do that, like, because I always say cupcakes are nothing more than a frosting delivery system. So
correct.
We could just walk around with a can of frosting, I guess, and get rid of the cake.
Let's get rid of the stigma and get to what we want, which is toppings and cream cheeses.
And butter.
And butter.
Calvin, you want to weigh in on the big topic of the day, bagels toasted or no?
Well, I just more wanted to weigh in on the argument that it's only a vehicle for toppings or schmear. I think that's a fair point, but then I think that also applies to all bread. I would look at someone just as sideways if they were eating Wonder Bread plain as if they were eating a bagel plain.
In most instances, I would agree mm-hmm. with you, but there are some restaurants that have bread that is so, like, the bread basket is so good.
But that brings up another question then. That brings up, it's about standards and societal
norms.
Now
we're veering.
You're right.
We're veering.
You're right. I'm sorry. We'll go back to bagels. Because I have a lot of thoughts on this. Why is it okay to eat plain bread before dinner, but I just can't have a piece of bread?
Leading to some whole new audio surveys here.
I agree.
855-752-4842. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. We're talking bagels this morning, toasted or no?
If I'm buttering it, toast. If I'm not buttering it, if I'm smearing it, then plain, not toasted.
You toast only with butter?
Yes, to melt the butter, because that's better.
Okay.
That makes total sense to me. And someone brought up before, breakfast sandwiches. I feel like if you're going to put a breakfast sandwich, especially egg and cheese on there, I think some toasting or warming needs to happen to get it all melty and good. Or that cold versus hot is a weird dichotomy. But Troy, that makes sense. That absolutely makes sense. Especially you want to put the butter. No one wants to look at unmelted butter on a bagel.
Just a big pat of butter sitting there.
Exactly. Wonderful. This doesn't just feel like an airing of your opinions, but also tips.
Life tips. That's what this segment is for.
Exactly.
Yes, life tips. When we return, we're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Catch Me If You Can edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Matt Nair on air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us now.
3 in 4 people have no idea that the hospital I work at in northern Minnesota will likely close if this big, beautiful bill passes, as will the hospital in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. So it is incumbent upon us to have these conversations with each other, not in a hostile way, but in a genuine way about our values and the things that we deeply care about.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calvi on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we went to the break, we were doing audio sorbet. Big question of the day, bagels toasted or no? And I just wanted to share Carmela from Milwaukee texting in, I'm a toasted bagel person, but I eat cream cheese and ricotta right out of the tub. See, Carmela, you're doing what you want. You're skipping the middle bread. Right? You're skipping the middle, man.
Where's my family out there who drinks pancake syrup right out of the bottle?
What?
No? Oh, just me. Oh,
I think it's just you.
Whatever.
Thank you, everyone, for taking part in that. That was a lot of fun. Coming up on the show tomorrow, Canada's own Pat Kreitlow will be joining us. Hopefully, he will be back from over the border. He had some plane problems and got diverted. So, yeah, he was stuck in Canada doing the show this morning. He will be joining us tomorrow morning after 9:30. And then Randy Banner, retired Major General Randy Banner, who spent more than 30 years in the U.S. military, will be joining us to talk specifically about Donald Trump sending in troops into California, even though the governor, the attorney general, the mayor, and the chief of police never asked for them. Mm-hmm. And also, Donald Trump gave a speech at Fort Bragg last week in which he encouraged the troops to boo Democrats.
Yep. That's where we're at now.
So that is all coming up tomorrow. Randy Banner will be here in hour number 2. I hope you can join us. Right now, though, it is 10:54, Calvin. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
And as always, if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one from AJ Dellinger with the byline from gizmodo.com. Headline reads, guy scores 120 free flights by posing as flight attendant before getting busted. Yeah.
We don't talk about heroes enough on this show.
35-year-old Tyron Alexander posed as a flight attendant and racked up more than 100 free flights over 6 years. He's now been convicted of wire fraud and entering into a secure area of an airport under false pretenses. Tyron Alexander managed to secure flights that were supposed to be only available to pilots and flight attendants. The Department of Justice says he was able to book these flights by falsifying employment information and giving out badge numbers that allowed him to bypass security. His primary victim was a single airline. He allegedly booked 34 different flights using fake ID numbers and stuff like that. He submitted documentation that he worked for 7 different airlines.
Yeah.
And provided more than 30 different badge numbers over the course of years. He was also able to duplicate the process that let him fly for free as a faux employee across 3 more airlines.
Mm-hmm.
So it started off with just one, and it's like, well, this is going good. I may as well spread this out.
I mean, there's a reason why we picked Catch Me If You Can edition, because exactly. It sounds like that kid from the movie. And look, I do not endorse wire fraud. I do not endorse
fraud.
I do not endorse fraud at all. I really just wanted it to be like, he showed up in a uniform and they were like, yeah, sure, he's a substitute or he's a new hire or something
right,
like that.
Right.
And I'm like, man, if you can get a free flight in this world, go for it. But now you're like, oh, there's wire fraud. Okay, yeah.
And he probably, you know, he might have ended up taking someone's spot on a flight. We don't know. NBC News reported that Alexander did at one time work for an airline headquartered in Dallas. That includes Southwest and American. And Ameristar Jet Charter and Flexjet on the charter side. He started working there in 2015. At no point was he ever a flight attendant or a pilot or any of those things. While he has been convicted, Mr. Alexander is still waiting to see what his penalty will be. He will be sentenced on August 25th. Nothing in here explains how he got busted. Although this does not exactly speak highly of security protocols.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And not in my head, because I've watched a lot of movies, I just want to imagine there's one lone agent and one lone agency who's like, we got to get this guy, and it becomes this whole thing. And then, you know what I mean? Like, Catch Me If You Can, too.
But he did this over almost a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you would think at some point, it's never blipped on anybody's radar.
That's what leads me to go, like, is it, like, something so heinous? It's not. It really isn't. And that's why I hope, like,
in the grand scheme of a criminal behavior, okay,
people are getting away with a lot worse.
Well, that's very
true. Or
being
pardoned for a lot worse. But that's for another day. I'm going to be very interested to see what the sentencing is. Will it just be some community service? Will it be
a slap on the wrist?
Or a judge in some state going, I'm throwing the book at him.
He has to work as a ground crew with no earphones.
Yes, he has to be a flight attendant as a volunteer. More peanuts.
You're the cart guy.
Yeah, exactly.
You're the cart guy. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As we mentioned, Pat Kreitlow will be here tomorrow. Also, retired Major General Randy Manner will be joining us after 10 o'clock. I hope you can join us for that. We have news coming up next, and then Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. Our friend Todd Alba, 2 to 4. The fabulous Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. And Pete Schwab and Nightlight, 6 to 8 p.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will see you tomorrow.
listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. President Trump says he needs to be back in Washington, causing an early departure from the G7 summit in Canada.
We're going to have dinner with these wonderful leaders, and then I get on the plane. I have to be back early.
CBS's Stacey Lynn reports Trump will deal with the intensifying crisis between Israel and Iran back at the White House.
According to officials, the U.S. is not joining Israel offensively in its military operation against Iran. Despite reports that President Trump asked the National Security Council and Situation Room to be readied, NSC cabinet members are already on standby 24 hours a day, including since Israel's Operation Rising Lion began. Earlier on social media, the president urged the immediate evacuation of Tehran, writing, simply stated, Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. Stacey Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
Correspondent Ouija Jiang reports.